97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
So you would get rid of all borders?
Yes.
So when you land from an international flight at JFK Airport, no passport checks?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you for so bluntly telling us your view.
I'm a dirty commie, so yeah.
Yeah.
That's a Charlie Kirk, man. He comes up with some of the best back and forths in America, and I love watching his clips on Facebook and X all the time. But he really is a voice for younger conservatives in this country. I don't think there's any doubt about that right now. We've got Matt Locke on the phone with us, and Matt is the host of the Voice of the Working Man podcast. And Matt, welcome back. How are you?
Good, sir.
Good to have you on this morning. You know, we were just talking about this a few minutes ago. I know that J.D. Vance would be my pick as the front runner for 2028 for sure. But he also represents, he and Charlie Kirk, the new generation of conservatives in this country, to be honest with you. And I think that that's a very positive thing as we move forward.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you've got a whole wave. Vivek Ramaswamy's in there with that, J.D. Vance. I mean, there's a lot of really good young leaders on the Republican side. And as we sit here and watch these things unfold, it's going to be important for the TPUSAs of the world to get to that group, because they're really right now wandering around in the forest by themselves looking for someone to say, hey, look, I understand your plight, and here's what we're going to do.
Yeah. I thought about that. I read somewhere, maybe I heard it on my way in this morning on one of the newscasts, that they're having some...
The Lincoln Dinner tonight.
The Lincoln Dinner in Iowa, and Glenn Youngkin is going to be there, and they kind of view this as sort of a kickoff for people who are going to be 2028 hopefuls. Now, Glenn clearly wouldn't fall into that age category, so there's definitely going to be some competition out there.
Well, of course there is, but, you know, look, J.D. Vance is handpicked. Donald Trump knew what he was doing. In Trump 2.0, we're watching things move at a rapid pace, but you don't think he took some time and said, okay, I know in 4 years we've got to continue what I'm doing. I need someone who is a strong standard bearer who can also, I mean, look, we're getting older. I mean, I'm Gen X. We're getting older. My kids are millennials. We got to start catering to that demographic, or the Republican Party as we know it is going to go the way of the Whig.
What do you think they're looking for in a candidate?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what was it about Trump, you think, that attracted a lot of these young people? Because I don't know if it was record numbers, but we saw quite a few young people, particularly young men, who were voting conservative for the very first time.
Well, it was the policies. It's the actions, right? Trump does what he says he's going to do. We had a track record from 16. You know, the economy was an absolute crap show. I mean, 9% inflation, eggs, you couldn't afford to go to the grocery store. You can't afford rent. You can't buy a car. You can't start a family. This generation's going, give me someone who will show me that I can do that, because there's a lot of youngsters out there who want to start a family, who want a good paying job, that want to be part of society, and they've kind of been just railroaded by all of these expenses and whatnot. So when Trump came in and did what he was said he was going to do, I mean, people look at that, and that generation looks at that and goes, well, I want more of that. I want to be a young man. I want to find a nice young lady to settle down and have a family. So I think that's what Trump and in turn J.D. Vance provide.
Yeah, very true. You know, Matt, just before we got you on here in that last segment, Kim and I were talking about this dust up over Epstein and some of the president's comments about who he doesn't want he was disappointed in some people and didn't want certain people to follow him anymore. But I don't know. I've called him out on this. I think this has been mishandled, and I've got to look back at Pam Bondi. Where are you on this?
I have all kinds of questions, like everybody else did the podcast yesterday on it. I mean, you can't hand out binders at the White House. You can't throw you can't throw Ghislaine Maxwell in jail and not produce the little black book or the customers or who was piddling who or who's a pedophile.
Yeah.
And then go back and say, well, nothing really happened. I don't understand this. And I tell my folks all the time, people who listen to my show, we don't have all the information. Trump does. somebody is telling Donald Trump to do this, or he has been counseled to say X is happening. Do we know what's going on behind the scenes? No. Is there more information? More than likely. Whoever's telling Trump to handle Epstein this way is not advising him well.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I just wonder where it goes now. What do you think? I mean, does this thing blow over? I'm not sure the base is going to let it just go away. Yesterday, he seemed to cave a little bit and say he's happy for Bondi to release what she can. I don't know what that means.
Well, I don't either, and I don't think most people do. And when you see influencers on social media telling you they know, I don't think they do either. And where I think it goes, I mean, we have to look at this. You know, you had the Russia hoax, right? That we know, the Christopher Steele, the dossier, all that stuff was not real. The 51 intelligence agents who said that Hunter Biden's laptop wasn't real. I mean, what's real and what's not anymore? What information's even left there? I mean, what information is left from Jeffrey Epstein? We don't know. Did they destroy it as Trump was coming into office? Is some of it made up? If I'm Donald Trump, and this is just me, I release it and say, here's the information. Go do with it what you want. I mean, he doesn't have to run again. I don't think it politically hurts him anyway. And I think he probably gets a whole lot of brownie points from people going, see, we saw it. And it really, honestly, the bottom line of this story, I think what I want and what most Americans want is we want to see evil people get held accountable for the things that they did. And we were told they did horribly evil things. And now they're going, well, we don't know if it existed.
Yeah, it's a great point. That's what I want. I wish that would happen tomorrow, in fact. Matt Locke, listen, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. Hope people will tune in to the Voice of the Working Man podcast. We appreciate you. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Good. Yeah, I think he's right. Roll it out. Let the chips fall where they may, and let's see what happens. I don't know. I think a lot of people that would quell this issue in a heartbeat if that could happen.
Get more at 971talk.com.